is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. We've had their partnership manager and training specialist Jefferson Mason and marketing manager Nick Bartlett on the show in the past, and we couldn't be more excited about what they're doing for the game of basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market and truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Beyond efficient reps, Dr. Dish provides training expertise and versatility designed to develop complete players. The new Dr. Dish CT machine has further revolutionized basketball training with over 150 plus on-demand individual and team workouts from some of the best coaches and trainers in the game. These workouts include video instruction and combine game-like shooting drills with ball handling, conditioning, and agility drills. Along with workouts, the Dr. Dish training management system also provides stat tracking and analytics to track progress and ensure accountability. These are just a few reasons why top programs like Duke, North Carolina, Louisville, Florida, Baylor, and countless others are upgrading to Dr. Dish. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com. Follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And make sure you mention the Hoopheads podcast to get $300 off your next Dr. Dish purchase. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get out and get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klintzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight we are going to talk some NBA All-Star Weekend, some trade talk, and some of the latest happenings around the NBA. Jay, we're going to start with the NBA All-Star Draft, and we are going to assume the personas of LeBron and Giannis. So you are going to be Team LeBron.
Yes, I'm going to be Team LeBron, and you're going to be Giannis because obviously you have some kind of Greek descent in you.
I don't know that that's the case, but I'm definitely riding the Giannis bandwagon hard here. So we're actually going to flip a coin live on air here to see which of us is going to get the first.
Great for the listening audience.
It's great, but hey, we'll try to get you the audio of the coin hitting the desk here. All right, you calling heads or tails?
Oh, I'm going to take heads.
It is heads, in fact. So LeBron, you're going to get the first selection.
Sweet, I'm going to take the first selection. All right, so I'm going to do exactly what he's not going to do with the first pick, and I'm going to take Luka Doncic.
Okay. All right. That's
because I don't think that's what he's going to do, because I think if he gets the first pick, he's got to take Anthony Davis, but I'm going to take Luka Doncic because I want to see LeBron and Luke. I want to play. If I'm LeBron, I want to play with Luka on my team.
Okay. Well, then I am going to go ahead and select Anthony Davis for the Giannis's.
Okay. I'm going to take Kawhi.
All right. Let's see.
I know who you're getting with the 10th pick, by the way, Mike.
Now it's getting real interesting. All right, we're just going with the mammoth team. We're going to go ahead and pick Joel Embiid.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh man. I have to take him. I don't want to take
sad.
Him.
It's pretty sad, man. Now it's like slim pickings.
Well, I'm going to take Harden.
Oh, good. Good. Let's get him off the board. I don't really have any desire to pick him, so that worked out well for me. All right, so the Western starters are all gone at this point. Yep.
So what's left for the audience are Siakam, Walker, Kemba Walker, and Trae Young. And like I said, I'm pretty sure Mike's going to get stuck with Trae Young here in a second, but go ahead, Mike.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead then and, ooh, man. Oof. Yeesh. All right, well,
You got to take Siakam, right?
I mean, all right, Giannis is my point. Giannis is going to be I'm going to be our point guard, so I'll go ahead and take Siakam.
Okay, I was going to say, all right, well, no, you can have Trae Young. He's going to be your point guard. I got to take Kemba Walker.
Trae Young's my shooting guard. All right, I'll go ahead and take Trae Young.
Yeah, he brings the ball up the floor and he shoots it a lot. He's kind of a point shooting guard. Let's go with that.
All right, that's fair.
All right, so my starting five then is LeBron, Luka, Kawhi, Harden, and Kemba Walker.
All right, so we're going Giannis, AD, Embiid. Siakam, Trae Young.
All right.
We'll have to throw those starting lineups on a Twitter poll.
Yeah. I would say your team is more likely to get injured during the All-Star game.
That's a good call. I think Giannis is indestructible, and I'm not sure the rest of those guys are even going to make it through warm-ups. But
we'll every one of your players – I mean, I don't know. Maybe some of my – every one of my players has missed games too, right, for injury. I guess Kawhi's – he's not really been injured. LeBron's missed games. Luka's missed game. Harden's missed game for resting. I don't think he was ever injured, right?
Yeah, I don't think he's been hurt.
And Kemba had a resting game. So, all right. So now we got these other ones. Am I getting the first pick?
Yeah, let's just keep going. You had the first pick, so you'll take the first pick of the reserves.
All right. So my. Oh, hold on a second. Oh, this is bad. Like, hold on. I had a fake guy up who I pulled up predictions instead of pulling up.
Instead of pulling up the real teams.
Yeah, the real teams. Right. Okay. Right. My first pick has got to be Dame Lillard. I'm going there. I know he's probably. I just think he's just on such a tear right now. And he's my dark horse All-Star MVP candidate because he's not going to give one. Like he's not going to care. He's just going to jack up shots. So I'm going to take Dame Lillard with my first reserve pick.
All right, that's fair. I'm going to continue with my gigantic size team, and I'm going to go ahead and take Ben Simmons.
Oh, I thought you were going to take Rudy Gobert. I thought you were literally going to.
No. I want guys that can be out on the floor doing stuff. You don't want to. Let's put it this way: you don't really want a center in this game.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't know that there's much value in Rudy Gobert or even Jokic from a standpoint of really being a potential guy.
We're gonna really test whether you're gonna do that or not because I think the end's gonna be really really interesting. I'm gonna go Donovan Mitchell with my next pick.
All right, okay. I'm gonna go Jimmy Butler.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go with first-time All-Star, Brandon Ingram.
All right. That's fair. Well, I like the Milwaukee Bucks, so I'm going to go ahead and take Chris Middleton at this point.
Wow.
Give me Middleton. He's my teammate. I got to keep him happy.
Oh, God. Well, in that case, you should have picked him first there, Mike.
No, I don't want him that happy.
Okay, so here's who's left. We've got Bam. We've got Chris Paul. Gobert is still available, right?
Gobert is still available.
I'm going to take Gobert just because I want a tall guy who's going to block a lot of shots in the All-Star game. That's what I want.
All right, good for you. I like that. I like that choice. Let's see. I am going to go with. I want to be able to match up with some. I want to be able to switch a little bit on defense. I'm going to go with Bam.
Okay. Oh man, I'm fixated on this Chris Paul picture on NBA.com. It's not a good look, Mike.
A good look. I know you've mentioned it before, so it must be really hideous because I haven't seen it. But this is like the second podcast in a row you've mentioned.
He's got a snarl on his face. I'm gonna go with the guy who you neglected to have on your All Star team, and I know I neglected to have a few. I'm gonna go with Jason Tatum, my next pick.
Okay, that sounds like a. Sounds like a quality choice there. Him and his sideburns should be a good addition to your team. I'm gonna take Chris Paul. Wow. I like having a distributor on my team. So
all right.
Somebody's gonna get the ball to my scorers.
In what world would we think that Bam Adebayo is gonna go before Chris Paul? I've never been able to predict that one. or Jokic for that matter. We got Jokic left, we got Sabonis left, we've got Lowry left, and we've got Russell Westbrook left. Ooh boy. I think I know I don't know who the last two are gonna be. I'm gonna take Sabonis.
All right, I think you might have taken the guy I was gonna take. I think I might have gone Sabonis. So
Lowry, Jokic, or Russell Westbrook, Mike.
Man,
I'm gonna go with Jokic.
Yeah, I figured that's where you're gonna go. All right. Well, I just can't. I can't even wrap around my head that Russell Westbrook, even though he's averaging 26 points a game, 26.4 points per game, 7.4 assists, and 8 rebounds, and he's been a 2-time Kia All-Star MVP. I just can't wrap my head around wanting him on my team for this game because I just feel like he's going to be a loose cannon like he always is. So I'm going to go with Kyle Lowry. He's won a championship. Russell Westbrook hasn't.
All right. I'm going to gladly go with Russ because with the new exciting format that the NBA has put in for the All-Star game where we get to win a quarter, I could see Russ just, you know, winning a quarter all by himself, trying to set the All-Star record for most points in a quarter and taking 27 shots in a quarter and leading us to victory and earning some money for a charity.
I guess that's true. So I guess that's a perfect time. Do we want to dissect our rosters at all here, Mike, or are we just gonna?
We can briefly dissect.
It's a complete crapshoot, and who knows what kind of team. Like, you picked Jimmy Butler 2 years ago. He was at the All-Star game and didn't want to go in the game. So you might only have 11 guys on your team.
Well, see, I want to get more playing time for some of the other guys, so that's what I was hoping for.
Oh, yeah, you get more playing time. You're going to have more playing time because 3 of your starters are going to get injured in the first 5 minutes.
I'm hoping like 5 or 6 of these guys don't want to play. That way I can go with the ideal 7-man rotation, keep my best guys on the floor a little longer. That's what I'm hoping for.
Speaking of the 7, someone was talking like they should expand All-Star rosters to 15. I don't know where I heard this or read it, and I'm like, are you kidding me? These guys don't play enough as it is in the All-Star game, and it's a joke. So now you're going to put 3 more guys on each team in the rotation? That would be ridiculous.
And the argument there is that, well, you know, there's 13 guys that are deserving, or there's 15 guys that are deserving. But once you water it down for a year or two, everybody's going to get used to there being 13 or there being 15.
And then they're going to be like, well, there's 3 more guys that are deserving.
Right, then all of a sudden guys 16 and 17 are going to be deserving of making it. So no matter where you cut it off, there's always going to be a guy or two every year who has a gripe, or in the case of Bradley Beal, his girlfriend and his agent have a gripe about him not making it and people complaining about not making the Rising Stars game and all this stuff. But I don't know. The game, the changes that they've made to the game, in a way you can kind of understand because the quality of the game has dropped so precipitously in terms of the competitiveness of the game. I still think back to, and you're too young to remember this, but the 2 Rolando Blackman free throws with no time left on the Rolando Blackman, Dallas Mavericks. I forget what, maybe it was, I can't remember the year, but it was sometime in the late 80s, maybe mid 80s. And he
if
had
it was
to
late
two,
80s. I was like 1 or 2. So yeah, you're probably right.
He had to make 2 free throws after time had expired to send the game into overtime. And I just remember both benches were, you know, looking at it and watching it. And the players were totally into it. And, of course, the first 3 quarters of the game were always kind of like they are now, where guys are just running up and down and throwing alley-oops off the backboard and kind of going through the motions. But then by the time the 4th quarter rolled around, the All-Star game really became a referendum on who was who in the league at that particular point in time, and it seems like that has really faded away. And so I guess I get that the NBA is trying to tweak it and put in this each quarter is a separate game and money going to charity, and then they're using the Elam ending where you've got to score 24 points or whatever the point total is at the end that the team's winning by and whatever that formula ends up being. But I don't know. To me, I'd still rather see a normal game with the hopes that maybe some competitive juices get flowing and guys start playing. I just don't see them. It's kind of like we talked about with the mid-season tournament. I just don't think that playing 1 quarter at a time as a game is going to inspire or motivate any of these guys to play any harder than they normally would.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just going to make it even more of a farce than it already has been. And I think the key to this is that guys still find it an honor to be selected to be an All-Star. And beyond that, I'm not sure that any of them care about competing in the actual game. just like you said with Jimmy Butler a couple years ago. I mean, I think if you're named, if you told these guys, hey, you could be named an All-Star
and not have to play.
And you can go hang out at All-Star weekend and watch the dunk contest and watch the three-point contest and just kind of hang out, I'm betting that probably a majority of them would gladly take that opportunity and not play in the game. So I'm not sure what the NBA can really do. I think their hands are tied to a certain degree, but we'll see what this format does. But to me, it just makes the whole thing more of a sham than it already was.
Yeah, well, let me be honest with you. I don't know how much of the All-Star game you actually watch. I watch the Saturday night stuff. I rarely watch the All-Star game.
Really? See, I mean, I always watch the All-Star game because I think I still am under the false impression that the All-Star game is kind of like it was back when I was younger, where, as I described earlier, it seemed like it meant something to the player. So I keep holding out against hope that that's coming back. And I guess maybe I should give up that ghost because it doesn't seem like that's what's going to happen.
No. Nope.
But I usually end up watching the game. And All-Star Saturday night I've watched pretty religiously over the years, either live or, you know, had it taped and been able to watch it after the fact.
Yeah. So let's move into the All-Star Saturday night, Mike. How does that sound?
That sounds like a good plan.
Okay, so we'll start with the thing that everyone's really excited about, the Taco Bell Skills Challenge. All right, and these are the people that are competing, and then we can make a prediction as to who we think is going to win. All right, we got Sabonis, we got Adebayo, we got Chris Middleton, we got Patrick Beverley, we have Spencer Dinwiddie, we have Derrick Rose, we got Pascal Siakam, and we have defending champion Jason Tatum.
All right, so I saw a funny tweet today, where somebody had tweeted that in the middle of the skills contest that Patrick Beverley was going to stop in the middle of it and start clapping in the face of some of the cones that he was dribbling around.
That's a good one.
I thought that was a pretty solid tweet. All right, who you got?
I'm going to go with the defending champion, Jason Tatum.
All right, I'm going to go with Chris Middleton.
You're really all about that Chris Middleton guy. Middleton, I tell you.
Hey, look. It seems like the history, you would think that this would be a competition that would favor guards, but it seems like in the last few years that bigger guys have done better. So if I'm looking at it, I'm not sure I'd want Beverly or Derrick Rose. So I'm eliminating those two. Dinwiddie won it, 2 years ago maybe?
Yeah, I think 2 years ago, yep.
So he's obviously a contender. I don't know. I just think Middleton, good shooter, handles the ball. He should be fine. Again, whatever, this contest means nothing to me, and if I have to miss something of All-Star Weekend, this would be the one thing I would miss.
Yep. All right, so now we shift into the Mountain Dew three-point contest, and the people competing, Trae Young. This one irks me, Zach LaVine. Why isn't he doing the dunk contest? We can talk about that briefly in a minute. Devontae Graham, Bertans, Duncan Robinson, Buddy Hield, Dame, and defending champion, son of friend of the pod, Joe Harris. And they've changed the format. They've added two long shots, right? It's two long shots for 3 points.
One in between, one from each of the kind of
extended
in the slot,
elbow.
In the slot between the wing and the top of the key.
Now, are they giving them more time to do this now?
Yeah, 10 extra seconds, and each of those long shots is going to have a green ball because it's going to be the Mountain Dew green ball deep shot or something.
Hey.
I'm serious.
They're making some money on some publicity here.
It's going to be a green ball. I read that tonight. So, yeah, 70 seconds now to go through. The money ball rack is still – they can still put the money ball rack wherever they want.
All right. I like the change. I think this is the one change this weekend that I like, Mike.
I think it. Yeah, it fits with where the game's going. The deep three seems to be more and more prevalent in the game, so why not throw it into the three-point contest?
All right, I'll let you pick first. Who do you think is going to win this?
All right, well, I think this is one that always – it's always tough to predict because there's guys that you think – are going to be really good at it, but if you have a lot of motion in your shot and you've got to jump, you have a hard time getting through all the racks. So I look at some of the guys who maybe have some size. I think personally, I think it's going to come down to our friend Joe Harris and Davis Bertans. And I'm going to go with Bertans to win the 3-point contest.
I am going with the guy who's on the tear, Mike. I'm taking Dame.
All right, that's fair.
I just feel the deep. He's going to nail both those deep threes. I'm telling you right now, he's going to hit them both. He's gonna drop those in. That's 6 points right there. So I'm going to go Dame.
All right, Dame's fair. That works.
All right. And last but not least, the AT&T, please call someone else to join this slam dunk contest, please. Because, I don't know, I'm really disappointed, Mike. I'm really disappointed in the slam dunk contest, and I don't know why I feel like every year I get my hopes up that something good's going to happen. Derek Jones Jr., I wouldn't have been able to pick him out of a lineup.
I would not recognize him if you walked down the street, although he has been in the contest before.
That doesn't mean anything. I still wouldn't be able to pick him out. Okay, Aaron Gordon. I'm all about Aaron Gordon. He's the one guy in this list. Like, and I get Dwight Howard. He was a big name. I can't imagine that he has anything super creative.
He was last in the dunk contest in 2008. Like, what in 2008? It's 12 years ago. I don't know. I can't fathom that Dwight Howard could win this contest in any way, shape, or form.
And then Pat Connaughton. Hey, listen, Mike. I don't know. This might be a controversial take.
Go ahead.
When was the last time a white guy has won this dunk contest? And you could tell me I've been wrong.
Let's see. I would say I could pull up never.
NBA dunk contest winners.
Yeah, but
go ahead and say what you were going to say, and I'll look this up right now. All right.
Well, you know what I read about Pat Connaughton tonight is that, you know, he's a great athlete. He was drafted, I believe, by the Baltimore Orioles, so that qualifies him to be in the dunk contest for sure.
All right, Mike. I got an answer for you.
All right, I got to think. Rex Chapman.
No. 1996. San Antonio.
Tom Chambers.
No, it was in San Antonio, 1996. He played for the Los Angeles Clippers.
Oh, Rick Barry.
Brent Barry.
Brent Barry.
Brent Barry.
I remember that. Brent Barry dunked from the foul line in that dunk contest.
Yeah. I don't know who Fred Jones is.
Fred Jones. Come on.
I'm guessing he's not white, though.
No, Fred Jones played for the Indiana Pacers. He owns Shoot 360 in Indianapolis right now.
Oh, look at you. There you go.
There you go. That's it.
He's assistant coach for the Oregon Ducks.
All right. Fair enough.
This is
a terrible dunk contest. If anyone besides Aaron Gordon wins this, I got to believe it's because Gordon just tried to do something completely ridiculous and ends up missing dunks and gets a lower score. But there's no way.
So Brent Barry literally is the only white guy he's ever won, Mike.
That's, I mean, not surprising.
I know, right? Oh.
But, hey, keep hope alive with Pat Connaughton. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. All right, so anything else about the All-Star game that we need to talk about?
No, I mean, I think we touched on briefly before we got on here just about the Rising Stars Challenge and just the fact that lots of guys are complaining about not being on the team or being on the team and whatever. And then
people complaining that Zion's on the team. He played 3 games and he got – and I'm like, are you kidding me? He's been more electric than most of the rookies that are playing in the three games that he's played.
I mean, the league clearly wants him there, and he deserves to be there even though he's only played 5 games. He's averaging – I forget where I'm at here. Here he is. Zion's averaging 19 and 8.
How many assists is he averaging?
Well, he's down there. Unfortunately, he's down in the Colin Sexton range.
I was going to ask, is him or Darius Garland averaging more assists?
Garland is averaging more. Zion's at 1.7. But I will say, if you watch those games and you watch him play, those numbers are going to go up as he gets more opportunities to handle the ball and have the ball in his hands because he does see things. He is a good passer. I don't think that's a case of him being a poor passer. I think it's just a matter of what he's being asked to do. His role right now is not necessarily to play make for other guys. So he's catching the ball a lot in the post.
And yeah.
Just he's so quick, and he's going to be really, really, really good. And you can tell he's not in good basketball shape right now, and he's still feeling his way back in. He's only averaging 26 minutes a game, and he's putting up almost 20. So he's going to be very, very good.
Yep, I agree. All right, so now we're going to shift our focus, and I guess another thing they're doing for the All-Star game, Mike, is the one Giannis's team's going to wear 24 for Kobe, and LeBron's team's going to wear 2 for Gigi. And I mean, I thought I saw something on Twitter like literally an hour after this whole Kobe thing went down that suggested this happening, and I'm not overly surprised by it, and I think it's a nice way to do it and kind of make it a little tribute to them, and I think it's a nice touch. I'm kind of glad that they're not going like, I mean, maybe they are going to go over. I mean, I'm assuming they're going to do stuff like before the game and stuff. That would be my assumption, right? Would you think so?
I would think they would have some kind of brief ceremony or moment of silence or tribute video, something. I got to believe that there's going to be something related to Kobe that the league is going to do as part of this. But I don't know how extensive it's going to be. I haven't heard anything to this point.
No, I haven't either. So, but, you know, I thought the Kobe ceremony before the Lakers game, you know, you and I were texting, and LeBron probably, I can't think of a time that he ever spoke like truly from the heart like he did in that moment. And when he was like, they told me I had to read off these cards, but, you know, yeah, that's not going to work with you guys, so I'm just going to talk. And I thought, you know, and he kind of, and I thought he really, really did a great job expressing himself and being clear and really paying tribute to Kobe. And I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah, he did a great job. It makes him who he is. I could have done without the profanity there probably with kids watching and whatever. But nonetheless.
Were you at the parade, Mike? Come on, Mike.
What?
Were you at the parade when he was speaking?
I did not make it to the
when Mom said he dropped the F-bomb like multiple times.
Yeah, I know. I could have done without it there, and I could have done without it, but I get what he was saying. But I guess the greater point is that to be able to, and I don't know what his relationship was or wasn't with Kobe in terms of what their actual friendship or relationship was, but regardless, the emotions that were in that building from everybody, and for him to be able to be as composed as he was, to be as coherent as he was, to be as respectful, and just the words that he was able to put together that I think expressed, I think he was speaking for more than just himself. I think he was speaking on behalf of all the NBA players, past, present, future, that were touched by Kobe Bryant. And as a result of that, I thought he came across very, very well. And I'm not surprised, because that's been one of the hallmarks of LeBron throughout his career, is his ability to handle situations like that, whether it be with the media, with fans. Guy hasn't been in trouble. He's done lots of great things. And that's what makes him who he is his ability to be composed in situations where I think a lot of people would have had a hard time getting through that 3 minutes without breaking down or without babbling on and saying things maybe that might not have been appropriate for the moment. But LeBron did a really good job with that. Yep. And it was the whole thing was handled, I think, as tastefully as it possibly could be by the Lakers. And I think it was a great tribute to Kobe and his daughter that clearly – that franchise was deeply affected by the tragedy more so than anybody else because of the time that Kobe spent there in the building, and not just the players and the front office people, but just, you know, there's so many people just that worked in the building that were touched by him over time. And so it was nice to see that the tribute went off the way it did. And I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, I thought so too. And then we get to the game, Mike, and this leads us into our next topic of conversation, and that's Dame Lillard. And I'm just going to read off his stats for his last six games, all right? You ready?
Well, all right, before you say that, he cooled off a little bit tonight.
How many did he score tonight?
So tonight he had, last time I looked, he had 20. He had 21, and they lost by 28 to the Nuggets. And Dame finished the night with 21. So he cooled off a little bit tonight. But go ahead and read the previous six games.
So they did the previous six games.
Still completely relevant.
Okay. Golden State, 61-10-7. Dallas, 47-6-8. Indiana, 56-13. Houston, 36-10-11. The Lakers, 48-9-10. And then Utah, 51-2-12. In that he's the first player in NBA history to average 45 points and 10 assists over a six-game span. Incredible. Insane. And, you know, obviously, you knew that wasn't going to continue. He had to fall back to earth a little bit. But that's an incredible six-game stretch, Mike.
He's having a great – I mean, you look at his stats across the board. I pulled up his season stats as you were talking there. He's averaging just under 30 a game, just under 8 assists, with only just under 2.9 turnovers. He's shooting 46% from the field overall, just under 40% from 3, 8 free throws a game, shooting 88% from the line. He's been as good as he's ever been, and yet, you know, Portland's sitting there, below 500. Still
2.5 out.
Yeah, still on the outside looking in to the playoff race. Now, if Nurkic comes back, we've talked about this before, if Nurkic gets back, and I think there's still probably a candidate to make some kind of a trade, you won't be surprised if they creep into that eighth spot based on the fact that they have experience. Lillard and McCollum, we know how good those guys are. And I'd say if you look up and down the line of all those other teams, Memphis' guys are good, but they're young. And I don't know that anybody else has the little.
You know what they
McCollum.
Could? You know what Memphis could use, Mike?
What's that?
Andre Iguodala.
That whole saga is like, it's kind of crazy that he doesn't want to play with Memphis. It really is. Especially when
he's sitting at home getting $17 million, not doing anything.
I guess, but I could see it before the season started. You're like, oh, this team's going to be garbage. But at this point, I mean, to play with Ja and Jaren Jackson Jr. and Brandon Clark, man, I don't know why you wouldn't just. I don't know why you wouldn't just suit up if for no other reason than, yeah, maybe they do release you or maybe they do trade you, but at least then you're in playing shape when it comes time for you to play. Or get picked up or traded to one of these other teams.
Maybe he's pulling a Sean Kemp, Mike.
Maybe. It's just weird. I don't really quite understand it, but who knows? Yeah. I don't know. I guess my point here is if we look at that eighth spot and you're looking at where these teams are right now, it's hard to bet against Portland simply because of the experience of Lillard and McCollum versus I think they're better than any of the other twosomes if you look down the line of these other teams.
And they have, I mean, let's be honest. I know he's not the best. I wouldn't probably put him in the top. I mean, if I took Memphis's roster and I took Portland's roster, I'd say Carmelo is a top five player between the two, right? Right now?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe. I don't know. He's not, again, Carmelo's playing one end of the floor mostly.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you gotta take that into consideration. But yeah, I mean, he's clearly in the upper half of those rosters for sure, but I don't know. I guess you can go back and forth on it. If I was betting at this point, I think I might take Portland just because of how hot Dame has been right now.
Yep. I just want to believe.
Can I tell you who I'm not taking?
Who's that?
The Minnesota Timberwolves.
Well, I know I sent you that text. That Carl Anthony Towns hasn't been in a winning game. He has now. They've won since the Friday I don't remember exactly what
I think it was just said. I think it said since Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he hasn't been a part of the winning team, winning game, since Thanksgiving. Mike, think about that one.
That's crazy.
That's pretty crazy.
That is crazy. I saw on Twitter tonight that Andrew Wiggins was trending, and I was like, oh man, did they trade him? And then there was just all kinds of rumors that he was going to end up in Golden State. So people were making fun of Wiggins / the Warriors if the two of those.
Did you see Beal put up 43 tonight? But they lost to Golden State.
All right. Well, Golden State is on a tear, which is good for the Cavs, because
the Cavs are about to have the worst record. We're last.
We're the worst team.
We're not the worst yet, Mike. Golden State is 12-39. We are 13-38. Sadly.
If they won tonight, though, I think they had 12 going into tonight.
Maybe. I don't know.
If they won tonight, then I think that takes them to 13. But anyway,
No, it's already been updated. They still only have 12. They only had 10 when we played them, sadly. And I don't think they're winning any of the next three. So we're gonna leapfrog them here, Mike. I'm feeling it. We're gonna do some good. Man, the Cavs are bad, though.
They're bad. They're the worst. I really don't care what the standings say. I'm telling you right now, they are the worst. They're the worst team.
And I feel bad because I've watched
them play twice. I've now watched them play live twice. And those, honestly, I saw them play the New York Knicks, and then I saw them play the Golden State Warriors. And those were two of the worst performances by a basketball team that I've ever seen. I mean, they were just atrocious on both ends of the floor. And they got to end up the season as the worst, especially if we end up trading somebody.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Love's going anywhere, because I don't think anyone wants his contract, Mike. I know you were really on the Love's going to get traded. I just don't see. I don't know who's going to trade and want to match salaries with it. I just don't.
I think it comes down to what do the Cavs? What are they willing to accept to move him off the books? Because at this point. You know, I know we said at the beginning of the season when there was the supposed veteran mutiny with John Beilein, and we were both like, oh, it can't be Kevin Love. He's a great guy, you know, good teammate. I'm sure he's not. And it's become clear as the season has worn on that clearly Love has become a detriment to this team in terms of his attitude and his work ethic and whatever within the confines of this particular season. And so I think the question becomes, is getting rid of Love addition by subtraction, where maybe they're not going to get a whole lot for him, and maybe they have to take back some bad contracts, and maybe all they get for him is a second round pick, or who knows? I think it's just a matter of how badly do they want to ship him out.
Yep.
And how low are they willing to set their price? And I think, you know, 6 months ago you would have said, oh, they're not going to take a second round pick and some salary filler for Kevin Love. That'd be insane. But now you look at it and you're saying, man, if this guy is affecting the locker room and he's having a negative influence on some of their younger guys, then maybe you just ship him out because he's killing your team from the inside. So I could see that happening, where they're selling really low and they don't get much back from him. Maybe they get rid of Tristan and Kevin Love, and all they get back is a couple second round picks and some salary filler. But I don't know. I still won't be surprised if both of them are gone, but I'd say right now it seems like it's more likely that Tristan's going to get traded, but who knows?
Yeah, and I'm not really – I'm not – the thing about the Twitter age is we hear about all these supposed rumors and all these supposed trades that are happening, and how many of them actually happen, like hardly any. Like there's rumor going around that Kuzma might get traded, blah, 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 blah. Well, Kuzma's playing tonight, so I don't think he's getting traded. There's nothing imminent. You know, there's nothing.
It's always something out of nowhere. It's always something out of nowhere, though.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, occasionally you get something that's been talked about for weeks that ends up happening. But more often than not, it's something that comes down to the deadline and somebody changes. Somebody changes their price or somebody ups their offer, and then that's what ends up getting things done. Yeah. I think the most interesting part of this right now to me, or the most interesting player the most interesting speculations about D'Angelo Russell and the fact that Minnesota seems to really want to get him to pair him with Karl Anthony Towns. And if you're Golden State, why would you want to trade him?
I think it makes no sense that
why they would trade him. I mean, he's 23 years old. He's averaging like 23 a game. I think it was in Zach Lowe's column today. He just talked about some of the stats that Russell has in terms of the variety of ways that he can score. And he's not necessarily a great defender that fits in with their defensive scheme. When you're talking about the Warriors, the previous iterations where they're a championship contender, and maybe they are again if Steph and Clay come back healthy next year. But still, this guy's 23 years old. He can play on the ball. He can play off the ball. He can play make. He's good. Now, he's clearly not good enough to carry a team in the NBA to a winning record.
Yeah.
But you bring back Steph, Clay, Draymond, and D'Angelo's your third scorer. And
that, you know, Pascal guy. There you go. Put that Pascal guy out there with him.
Right. I just don't see why Golden State would get rid of him at this point. That doesn't make any sense unless there's some Godfather offer out there that none of us see coming. I don't think anything off of Minnesota's roster is going to excite them. And yeah, Minnesota, I think, is trying to pull other teams into it, is what people are reporting. But I just don't know where you're going to get a guy who's that young and has that much skill to fill that position. So I think Golden State, I would be very, very surprised if D'Angelo Russell ends up going anywhere.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I'm going to tell you right now, I think that this trade deadline is going to be a whimper, Mike. I don't think there's going to be anything crazy. I think where things are going to happen are the buyout market in the coming weeks after this. I don't have faith that there's going to be a big move, and maybe I'm wrong. But I just don't buy that there's a lot of big moves happening this week.
Well, all the rumors and everything that's going on that involves semi big names are all with teams that nobody cares about. Like if Minnesota and Golden State pull off a blockbuster trade, who cares? Minnesota's won 15 games, Golden State's won 12. That has zero impact on the season. The Atlanta Hawks trying to acquire Clint Capella. If that really happens, who cares? I mean, that, you know, the Cavs, if the Cavs trade Tristan or Kevin Love to another mediocre team, does that matter? I don't see anything. None of the rumors or things that I've heard in terms of at least what we might consider blockbuster deals with big name players.
Yeah.
None of those things, at least what I've heard, involve any of the big teams, because either they just don't have cap space or they can't match salary. So you've heard some small little things around the fringes, but there's nothing big that you've heard about. And again, that's not to say that something big can't happen, because sometimes things come out of nowhere. But as far as the things that have been reported to this point, even if something, quote, big goes down, it's not going to have an impact at the top of the playoff race, it doesn't seem.
I agree. All right. A few more topics to discuss, Mike. Toronto, 11-game winning streak, and I'll be completely honest with you. I didn't know they had won 11 straight. I knew they had jumped up to second in the East, but when you told me before we started taping that they had won 11 in a row, I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive.
It's very impressive. And you look back to prior to the season and Kawhi leaves and you're looking at what's left of that roster, and we both thought they were a playoff team, but I think I had them at either 7 or 8. I think I might have had them at 8.
I had them at 4, I think.
Okay, so you had a little bit more confidence in them than I did. But to see them sitting at 2nd, and you're now at a point where I think there was a lot of speculation before the season that come the trading deadline that Toronto might have been looking to unload some of their guys to be able to clear space and get ready for that rebuild and try to see if they could get Giannis to come in 2021. And now you're sitting there looking at it. They have the they have the third best record in the league at this point. I mean, I don't necessarily consider them to be title contenders. I don't think they have a legitimate chance to win the title, but them having the third best record certainly tells you that I might be wrong. And so is there a piece out there that Toronto could go and get? I don't know. But I don't think you can win a title with Siakam as your best player. But what do I know? They have the third best record in the league at this point. So they're certainly as much in the race as anybody else. And it's very, very surprising that they're sitting where they are.
Yeah. And just, I think it's just a testament to the culture that's there.
Nurse is a good coach.
Yeah, he's a good coach. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think about, you know, like I'll be honest. I gave Toronto a lot of crap when they fired Dwayne Casey. And then right after he got announced as the coach of the year, and then they wrote congrats coach and all this other nonsense. And then they went through the extensive search and they hired Nick Nurse. And I was like, what is this? Like, give me a break. But he's apparently a good coach, and he's done a good job at fostering a good kind of team environment, considering the fact they lost. I mean, we don't have to talk about where we would rank Kawhi, but he's probably a top 5 to 10 player in the NBA when he's healthy, right?
He's clearly
so
a top
you lost player. you lost him, and here we are. Your team is still second. That would be like the Cavs losing LeBron and staying in second. I mean, it's not thinkable. It's not you wouldn't think that it's happened. Is it able to happen? And it has. And that goes back again to the wonderful job that Masai's done, and hopefully I hope for his sake that he decides to stay, Mike, and doesn't go to some lunatic in New York like it's being reported they're targeting him. Do you see that, Mike?
Yeah, James Dolan's been targeting him for years. You wonder. It's one of those cases where it seems like it would make a lot of sense for him to stay in Toronto. He's had success there. He's built this roster. He's got an opportunity at some point to refurbish, rebuild this roster. Why would he go to New York? And I think there'd be a couple reasons. It's kind of like, I think of it almost as, why would a college coach leave his great program to go and try his hand in the pros? And I think there's going to be a lot of money on the table in New York, I'm sure. And there's also the challenge of building a team in New York. And there's also the potential pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, that if you are able to build a winner there, that you'll be remembered forever if you're able to turn the Knicks around underneath James Dolan. But history would tell you that despite the fact that you may have had previous success, that when you get into an environment, a culture that is toxic, it's very, very difficult to overcome that. See the Cleveland Browns. And
well, come on, man. We got Kevin Stefanski.
Hey, I'm just saying, whatever people had success before they got here, that success was quickly lit on fire and thrown back out the door, because when you're in an environment where things just seem to always go wrong, it's really, really difficult to break that. So, yeah, I mean, could I see Masai going there? Sure, absolutely. I think there's going to be money. There's a chance to work for what theoretically is one of the most prestigious franchises, at least the brand of the franchise. The franchise itself, I'm not sure, is iconic anymore, but the idea of the franchise is. So I could see him going there, but who knows?
Hey, I know we're doing this live. LeBron just hit 4 straight 3s, Mike.
He's trying to match Zion.
Yeah. It was pretty impressive. It was a pretty impressive stretch. But anyways, yeah, I think if Masai's smart, he's not going to leave. And that would be, I wouldn't go work for that guy. Dolan and Jason Concepcion today tweeted, if this isn't further proof that every game at Madison Square Garden, the whole game, there should be fans just chanting, sell the team, sell the team. That should literally be the only cheer that goes on in the stadium. I thought that was a pretty good and funny tweet. I think they should do that.
Probably true. I think that I'm sure that's the sentiment all throughout New York Knicks fandom, but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen, so they're going to be stuck with them for a long time.
All right, the last thing that I have written down that we want to talk about a little bit was Zion a little bit, just to kind of talk about him. And I know you kind of gave a little bit of, you know, he's played five games and he's averaging, what was it, 17 points a game or something like that?
Averaging 19.5 points, 8.2 rebounds, 1.7 assists, and PER is 24. He's been really, really good. I just, again, having sat out the first half of the season, basically, to come back and be able to do what he's done. He's playing 26 minutes a game. I think that it's going to take him a little bit of time, and it's going to take the team a little bit of time to get their bearings. And I'm not sure that they have enough time to be able to crawl over the four or five teams who are ahead of them in the standings. Right now they are, how far back are they? Like 5.5 games, I think. Yeah, they're 5.5 yeah. out, which with five teams ahead of them, that's going to be tough for them to overcome. I mean, they'd have to go on a serious tear and win 5, 6, 7, 8 games in a row, or win 8 out of 10, something like that, in order to be able to climb back into that playoff race. Now, could they? Sure. But I don't think it's likely, as we talked about before. If I was betting at this point, I'd probably pick Portland to slide up into that A spot. But Zion's been really good, and I think that there's no question after watching these first six games that this guy is going to be a beast in the league for years to come. There's nobody who can deal with him from a size, strength, speed, second jump. He just is so quick off his feet, where he overpowers guys in the post, and then even if he misses the shot, he's back up so fast, grabbing the rebound and getting putbacks, which
his,
I think
his bounce, Mike, is just ridiculous on those rebounds.
He's so fast. I mean, he's so fast getting back off his feet. And for a guy that big to be able to get off the floor as quickly as he does, as high as he does, to me it still comes down to just his career is going to be defined by his body and whether or not he can stay healthy.
Yeah, I agree. Because and we keep going back to that one thing. There's that one word, Mike, and it's called health.
Yep.
It's whether he can stay healthy or not, and I think that's the key.
So true. So true. And I think, crossing my fingers, that it's going to happen, because the guy is just – he's just a special talent, and he's fun to watch. And that's what I think, if you look and project out for the next 10 years, he's a guy that you want to be able to watch in the league, because he's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I think he's going to play winning basketball, but I also think he's going to play entertaining basketball that people are going to want to watch, and the dunks, the blocks, there's something about him that's magnetic that makes you want to tune in and watch what he's going to do. So I'm excited to see where the rest of this season goes, and excited to be able to watch him throughout his career and keep my fingers crossed that he stays healthy.
Yep, I agree.
All right, anything else?
He hit a fifth in a row before missing the sixth, Mike. So pretty impressive. I don't know any time in LeBron's career that he ever hit 5 threes in a row.
That's pretty good. The Lakers continue to sit atop the Western Conference. The Bucks continue to run roughshod over the entire league, still on pace for 70 games. I tuned into that Pelicans game today, and I think when I turned it on, they were up 6. And within about a minute and a half, they were up like 18. And they just buried New Orleans in a hailstorm.
Well, the start of the fourth quarter, Lakers were only up by 11. They're up 23 now, like within 4 minutes of the quarter happening. Obviously, it helps that LeBron made 5 out of 5 straight three-pointers. I think that would help any team.
Yeah, that always helps. So both those teams are really, really good, and I know that there's the sentiment out there that, and it's probably true, that it doesn't feel as inevitable as it has the last few years, but it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot to beat both of these teams. I watch Giannis. I saw a stat tonight on the TV. I don't know if you caught it while you were watching the game, and they compared Wilt's 1961-62 season to Giannis's current season per 36 minutes. And I think Wilt was at, like, I want to say 37 a game per 36 minutes. Of course, I think that season he played 48 and a half minutes per game, because he played every single minute, including overtime. So, but he was averaging per 36 minutes, he was averaging 37. Giannis was averaging like 35. And then rebounds, I think Wilt per 36 was at like 17, and Giannis was at like 15.5. So pretty incredible stuff that Giannis and the Bucks are doing.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. Again, they're not going to get any credit until they get it done in the playoffs. So it's going to still be a show it to me situation for the Bucks, but man, that team is good.
Yep, I agree. And I just can't wait to see what happens with them this year.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun playoffs because there's so many interesting matchups and teams that you could certainly make a case or talk yourself into that Team A could beat Team Y, you know, Team B, depending on what the matchups are. And the top six in each conference, and I think you might even be able to throw Oklahoma City in there at this point, are all good teams. I mean, I'm not saying all those teams can win the title, but I would not be excited about any of those matchups if I'm in the Western Conference.
Yeah,
I would not be excited about playing anybody except for whoever the ace seed is.
Well, I don't know, Mike. I think the Lakers are definitely a better team, but I wouldn't want to play Portland if Dame's playing like this come playoff time.
I don't think Portland can win a series,
but I think that Portland could push. You know, they're not a sweep. I don't think
it wouldn't be fun to play them. It wouldn't be fun to play them. They're going to make you work every single game, and we know Dame's going to come to play in the playoffs clearly. And then, so I think, yeah, in the West, I still think that the 1-8 matchup is the one you'd want to be in the West. I think any of those other matchups, you know, you just look at what the matchups would be right now. So you'd have Lakers Grizzlies, or let's say Lakers Blazers, whatever. I think that's a Lakers sweep, or maybe the other team wins one. Then you have Clippers Thunder. That's a fun series with Chris Paul and coming back to the Clippers. And then you have Nuggets Mavericks. I mean, if Luka's healthy, if Porzingis is healthy, that's not a walkover. And then your 4-5 is Utah-Houston. And, you know, Houston's beaten Utah the last couple of years. Yeah, go Jazz. But Houston's beaten Utah the last couple of years in the playoffs. And Utah hasn't been able to solve they've been the one team that hasn't been able to solve the James Harden in the playoffs puzzle. And so those are all good series that I could easily see one team or the other winning. And then you go over to the East. I think the one and the two seeds have it pretty easy. Not that it's going to be a complete walkover, but I don't think anybody thinks Brooklyn or Orlando is going to beat whoever ends up being one of the top two seeds. But then the three, six and the 4-5, those are going to be grueling first round series for whoever ends up playing them. And I think you want to stay out of that 4-5 slot because you don't want to see Milwaukee in the second round if you can avoid it.
Yep.
It's going to be a fun second half of the season. Looking forward to seeing what happens Thursday with the trade deadline. I guess maybe if anything super crazy happens that warrants us doing a quick mini pod on Thursday night, maybe we could pull that off if there's anything that's worth jumping on for 10 minutes.
If my children cooperate.
If your children cooperate. But otherwise, we'll be back next week with our weekly NBA pod. So thanks for listening tonight, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Coaches, we're going old school this week with a new offering from Tyler Whitcomb Basketball Coaching Courses. The Jerry Tarkanian UNLV Runnin' Rebels Playbook by Farshad Alemi is now available. Visit coachtube.com/users/Tyler Whitcomb to check out this great old school resource.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast presented by Head Start Basketball.